Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Rolene Marks, never a dull moment in the Middle East.
Never a dull moment in the Middle East. Also on this very, very solemn day, very important points that you've raised. As the sun starts to set here, so we have already started to commemorate Yom HaShoah.
Yeah, we'll get to that and a little bit more detail as to how you plan to commemorate and honor that day. Let's start off though with a simpler news. Well, simple in inverted commas. Israel allegedly carrying out a reprisal attack on an Iranian ship.
Well, you know, it's interesting as we talk about Yom HaShoah and the conversation I heard you commenting on Ronnie Hershovitz's comments about the Grand Mufti. Here we have another situation starting to play out with another entity that seeks to wipe Israel off the map. And this time, and you and I actually spoke about it, I think it was just before you went away last week, about the fact that could we be seeing some kind of conflagration developing between yes. Israel and the Iranians at sea. Yes. And we have news that Israeli forces are alleged to have attacked an Iranian ship in the Red Sea. This is in response to previous strikes by Iran against Israeli vessels. What we do know is that a limpet mine was used for this. And very interesting how this news was broken. And a U.S.-based official allegedly told the New York Times, very interesting choice of publications, that Israel had notified the United States that Israeli forces had allegedly carried out this attack around about 7:30 in the morning local time, Israel. This anonymous, of course, U.S. official said that Israel had called the strike a retaliation and that the ship had been hit below the waterline. Now, it's not part of Israeli policy to comment on this, and somebody tried to get our defense minister, Benny Gantz, to comment whether or not Israel had allegedly attacked this Iranian vessel, and he said, you know, he's not commenting on this particular case, but we will retaliate wherever we are struck, and we will respond wherever there are threats. So very, very strong words coming from the defense minister, but no confirmation whether or not Israel is alleged to have carried this out.
Rolene, in your opinion, do you think Iran is being emboldened by talks of the U.S. re-entering the nuclear deal?
Well, I think that's an excellent question. You know, reading some of the coverage, I couldn't help but think of you know, the famous words, peace in our time, a policy of appeasement that we had just before the Second World War. Make no mistake about it. And we certainly do not underestimate Iran in any quarter. This is a regime that is hell-bent on seeing the destruction of Israel. And we know from their rhetoric and we know from their plans and we know from their refusal to comply with the IAEA nuclear regulations, that this is a country that's going to talk one word or out of one side of their mouth to the Americans to try and appease them or try and buy time while still enriching uranium in their centrifuges. We know what their intentions are. And unlike what we are seeing as more and more of a naive administration in the United States, we are not going to fall for any kind of lines.
Last thing on Iran, and just again, because I was away, I don't know if this was discussed or not, but during the week I was away, I read that the Chinese have signed a deal with them amounting to something insane, like $25 billion or $250 billion, an insanely huge figure. Was that news greeted with concern in Israel?
Well, obviously, we are looking at any kinds of deals with the Iranians with a lot of concern. And we also cannot take out the strategic threat that China is posing to the Americans, maybe part of their policy of trying to negotiate with Iran is rather with us than the Chinese. But looking at both kinds of regimes and the type of stance they take, the kind of rhetoric they use, the kind of way they rule their people, we can't forget the brave Iranians who have tried to stand up to the regime, many of whom have paid with their life. We see what the situation is in China. These are two regimes, not entirely different from the way they operate. And it should be alarming, not just for Israel, not just for America, but for the world.
Let's move on to a really interesting story that you raise. U.S. lawmakers reintroduce a bill to require State Department to review Palestinian curriculum. Wow, I thought this issue of Palestinian curriculum had been sorted out already. Clearly not.
It's an issue that's going to come up time and time again until we put an end to the incitement of hatred that is in Palestinian textbooks. And again, it's so timeless. While we are talking about Shoah, we know that the gas chambers of Auschwitz and many other death camps and concentration camps were built on words, were built on the propagation of hate, not just on bricks and mortar. And here we have a situation in the Middle East. On the one hand, I consider it child abuse, because I think any situation where young children are taught from the earliest age to hate the other, we have not just a gross human rights crime in so far as propagating hate speech, but we have the abuse of children that takes advantage of their innocence. So a group of four U.S. lawmakers reintroduced a bipartisan bill, which means it's supported by both the Democrats and the Republicans, that would require the U.S. State Department to annually review textbooks and educational materials used by the Palestinian Authority for violent content and determine how U.S. funds are used. This is very interesting. While the Biden administration has very quietly opened up aid to yes. the Palestinians. Mm-hmm. And we don't know what the conditions are there, but I would presume that these four lawmakers want to make any kind of aid contingent on what it is used for, and if it is used to propagate any kind of incitement or hate speech against Israel and the Jewish people. So the law or the bill says it has to conform with standards of peace and tolerance, including the removal of content and passages embracing violence or intolerance. And it also calls for a detailed report on how U.S. funds are being used to address educational materials used, and they list specifically by the Palestinian Authority to encourage violence or intolerance towards other nations or ethnic groups. And we have it, it's put forward by Brad Sherman. He's a Democrat for California. Lee Zeldin, a Republican for New York. Josh Gottheimer, a Democrat for New Jersey. David Trone, a Democrat for I can't remember which state is MD, and Brian Mast, the Republican for Florida. But it goes on to say the United States has provided millions of dollars to support the education of Palestinian children, with the stated goal of equipping Palestinians with the tools to build a democratic, secular, and politically moderate Palestinian civil society as a driver for peace. I will say that one area that will come up for criticism is the use of the word secular. It is one that will be met with resistance from anybody within the Palestinian camp, because they would want to see a potential state be a religious state.
Raleen, let's move on with the time that's remaining and talk about Israel commemorates Yom HaShoah. How's it done in Israel? Are there survivors? How many survivors? And what's their situation like?
The situation for survivors is as follows. This is per the Census Statistics Bureau that released statistics yesterday. We have between 120,000 and 180,000 survivors whose situation is very, very dire. Many of them are dependent on food handouts and on fundraising organizations that can help them. Many of them have been absolutely adversely affected by the the lockdowns, the loneliness, being cut off from people, and of course, the virus itself during this global pandemic. And you can feel now it's very palpable. There's a silence in the air in Israel. Our TV programming has been completely changed to reflect Holocaust memorial and education, to bear witness, the importance of bearing witness. When I come off air in a few minutes, and I invite everybody to join me, to please light a memorial candle for our 6 million. For Yom HaShoah, we commemorate specifically Jewish victims of the Holocaust. It coincides with the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising. I also would encourage listeners, please, to go and learn, hear, read the story of at least one victim of the Shoah and a survivor. As we lose more and more of our precious survivors, so it is more and more important for you, for me, for all of us, to ensure that the next generation is taught, and that they continue to bear witness and to remember. We said never again. We've just spoken about China. We can't forget the plight of the Uyghur people. We've just spoken about Iran. We can't forget the plight of many who have been subjected to genocide. And these 24 hours where we commemorate our fallen, our murdered, our slaughtered, our lost, please take that time to really think about what Yom HaShoah means to all of us, and to perpetuate its memory.
Powerful stuff, Rolene Marks. Thank you as always.
Thank you, Simon. And we'll speak again tomorrow.